Welcome to the TurfNet Renovation Report, brought to you by Golf Preservations, the Andersons, and Capillary Bunkers. I'm Anthony Pioppi, your host. Joining me is Jeff Sexton, Certified Golf Course Superintendent at Evansville Country Club. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me, Anthony. I appreciate it.
Now, Jeff, I want to talk to you about, you've been at Evansville, you're in your 12th season. You just undertook a massive what you told me is called a campus renovation, not a golf course renovation, with Bo Welling as the architect, but it was quite the project. Let's first of all talk about the timeline, which I think is fascinating.
Yeah, so it was a very condensed timeline. We got with Bo basically in March of 2021, hired Bo immediately after interviewing Bo. We just fell in love with him just because we knew the club wanted to do more than just golf, and Bo was really, really good at just kind of looking at our campus as a whole. We went through the education process with the membership during the summer of 2021. We asked for a membership vote in October of 2021 with a 73% yes approval rate, and we took off from there.
Yeah, and you broke ground when?
Well, we broke ground the following August, so August of 2022. We shut down the front nine, but decided to leave the back nine open until September 15th, in which the whole property closed then.
And you opened back up when?
Memorial Day of 2023.
Wow. That's quite a condensed timeline. I mean, the fact you're able to get contractors in that short period of time is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that was one real big thing about Bo. He just come off the PGA Frisco project. Bo knew he had some people that were willing to do some of his work, and we were fortunate enough that we hired Heritage Links as our construction contractor. They did a phenomenal job, great relationship with Bo, and we were just really, really pleased that they squeezed us in their already very busy schedule.
Now, yeah, right. I mean, you know, I'm talking to golf courses that are telling me that they're 2 years out on their irrigation projects or a bunker renovation because they can't get a contractor for 2 years. So you guys are extremely lucky.
Yeah, we were very, very fortunate. Like I said, Heritage Links being a great big firm that they are, I think just had accessibility to a lot of the shortfalls in irrigation work, and it just kind of fell right into our lap. So it was just a true blessing for the club to be able to do it during the time we wanted to do it.
And how many architects did you hire before selecting Bo Welling?
Well, we basically went through an interview process. We talked to Bo. We talked to a couple others. We brought Bo in first and just instantly fell in love with him. It was kind of like a marriage, sort of. We just instantly liked his theory. We liked his vision. To back up a little bit, the project really started with the golf course shaper, Joe Titzer, at the time, was Titzer Shaping. Joe and I go way back, and Joe and Bo have a great relationship, who they now work side by side with one another every day. And so, you know, that's kind of how all that worked. We just decided that Bo was our guy, and that's how we chose him.
This isn't just a normal renovation. I mean, you guys, you added five new holes. You abandoned some holes and all that. What was the process of the club deciding that they needed new holes?
Well, we really didn't decide that we needed five new holes, but one of our issues was that the driving range just wasn't conducive to today's game. It was very old, very antiquated. Couldn't even see the ball land when the tee blocks were all the way back on a day. There were certain scenarios we only had eight spots available for members to warm up. The golf ball flying further, so, you know, the length of the old range was only about 240 yards, so the guys were hitting the range balls into a very busy road, and so that turned into like safety issues. And in order to get that range moved and make it adequate, we had to take up where the old eighth hole used to be. And in order to do that, we had to move tennis. Tennis was adjacent to the old range, so to move tennis courts where we wanted them, we had to eliminate the ninth hole, and then before long everything just starts getting rerouted, and so that's where we came up with the five new holes.
So from your perspective, when this is all going on, tell me about a superintendent who's trying to keep nine holes open. Nine holes are, you know, are under construction. There's new construction going on. And then you were telling me you also later rebuilt the existing greens, right?
Yeah, and that was all part of the process as well. So we just took off demoing on the August 1st on the front nine. I let my assistant Chandler Roberts kind of manage the back nine for that last month and a half with my guys. And it worked out really, really well for us. Once it got closed and Chandler kind of came over back on my side, and you know, I mentioned we rebuilt 13 of the main 18 greens. The other five greens we gassed and regrassed. They were rebuilt to USGA specs back in 1991. We wanted to just hang on to those greens, so we wanted all the grass on all the greens to match. So we went through the fumigation process in-house and resurfaced those greens, and they're really doing well right now.
And what did you select for your turf variety?
We went with Pure Distinction.
And what led you to that?
Well, I'm a talker, so I made phone calls to some guys over in North Carolina, talked to some guys down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're really, really hot and sweaty here in the Midwest in southern Indiana, and I just wanted a grass that was going to handle heat real well. I wanted a grass that was going to, you know, we were able to mow it close and get green speeds up a little bit from what I used to be able to do for the membership. You know, we deal with a lot of different diseases here in Evansville, and, you know, having some disease resistance on the turf is appealing. And then my biggest selling factor was just the agronomist, Lewis Sharp, that Tita Green has on staff. He's from Carmel, Indiana, very close to me, a person that could come and go, and he's made several visits during the process to just help coach me along with growing his grass in and what it needs and what it doesn't need. And, you know, it was really nice to have him as part of my renovation team.
So you get this really, you get these high temperatures and this humidity in the summertime. What's going on in the depths of winter with you as far as temperatures?
Well, this winter we had one really, really bad cold snap, but we're open year-round here in Evansville. We don't average but maybe 6 inches of snow a year. Temperatures, when it gets cold in January, you know, we'll see the teens a couple of nights. But overall, it's above freezing most of the winter, so it's not too bad.
Right. So you didn't need a grass that was extremely cold tolerant on top of being extremely heat tolerant.
No, that didn't. The cold tolerant part wasn't really a factor for me. Now I know Pure Distinction does green up sooner in colder soil temperatures, which was something that we were looking at as well, and it's definitely proved that to us. But no, I wasn't really worried too much about the bottom end of things, but the upper end for sure.
And so with these addition of these holes, these abandoning of holes, also save, you know, keeping on with some holes you have, what was the project or the process with the irrigation system?
Well, that's a good question. And so it was another reason why we chose Heritage Links, because they do both golf construction and irrigation together as one unit. Basically, the irrigation crew had to kind of synchronize themselves with construction. I would say if you ask them, it was probably a little bit tricky because there were times that the irrigation guys maybe had to go help with the construction side for a while until they could go back. But we just kind of piecemealed the thing around as we went. You know, some superintendents want to wait and have nine holes ready before they seed greens. I knew I didn't want to do that. I wanted to get the seed in the ground as soon as I could. So Heritage Links was really good to get each green ready and irrigated and grassed around and bunkers built so that we could seed them. And, you know, before long you got 17 different greens at 17 different stages, but it's worked out real well with it for us.
And what did you end up putting in? What was the system that you purchased?
So we went with the Toro Infinity system, triple row irrigation, full circle heads in all three rows. HDPE, just because at the time it was the most cost effective. We have a lot to learn with HDPE because we're a PVC type of place, but the cost difference was so drastic and the availability that we had to make that move, and so we're just going to learn as we go.
Did you update the old system as well? Is that all new pipe, or the existing system, is that all new pipe?
No, one of these days the club's going to get that finished. The original system was put in 1986, double row irrigation, PVC laterals and main lines. Right now I would say 50% of the system, it's probably more like 40% of the system is brand new, and 60% is still 1986. So we still have some work to do as far as irrigation.
And how's that been working out with the compatibility of the new parts and the old parts and all that?
Well, it doesn't seem to, it seems to work fine when it comes to actually irrigating the turf. But now we're to the point where if a 670 sprinkler head goes bad, we just have to physically dig it up and replace it with a new head. You know, Toro doesn't make parts or even make that sprinkler head anymore. So, you know, we deal with some glue fitting, 1986 glue joints starting to break a little bit. But overall, I mean, I guess that's been the hardest part to try to sell the remainder of it was, one, the cost, and two, just the old stuff still kind of sort of keeps working.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. Are you at the point where it's wearing out and you're getting frequent breaks with the old system?
Well, that's another thing, too, to tell the truth, is that, you know, we deal with about 6 or 8 glue joints a year. You know, the club updated their pump station back in the early 2000s to a VFD system, and those type of pump stations are so easy on pipe and everything that overall we do pretty well irrigation-wise.
Do you get the feeling that the club is going to go with this, that they're going to update the rest of the system at some point in the near future?
We really haven't discussed it just because of what we just went through, but I think now that we've got Bo's work out here and, you know, we're currently in a drought, if you will, and we are noticing, you know, weaknesses in the old system, that I think conversations will begin to arise over the next couple of years. But right now I'm not trying to overwhelm them too much, and we're just kind of living with what we have at the moment.
Okay, well, let's do this. Let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Introducing Genesis RX, a line of comprehensive fertility and soil amendment solutions specifically designed for aerification, construction, renovation, sodding, sprigging, and seeding. These blends represent the most comprehensive fertilizers the Andersons have ever produced, offering single product solutions designed to simplify fertility and save time in application. To learn more, visit andersonsplantnutrient.com/turf.
From fairway and greens drainage to full-scale renovation work, Gulf Preservations can handle your project with ease and give you the peace of mind of knowing the professionals are caring for your valuable golf course assets. Since 2005, Gulf Preservations has meticulously installed over 500 miles of drainage pipe on more than 300 golf courses nationwide, always keeping disruption of play to a minimum. Visit gulfpreservations.com or call 606-499-2732 to speak with us about your next drainage or renovation project.
The capillary bunker system keeps bunker moisture at optimal levels to eliminate washouts, soil contamination, plugged ball lies, and other bunker maintenance and playability problems. The patented capillary bunker system not only rapidly drains rain from storms, but also moves moisture back up to the bunker sand through capillary action as needed during drier weather. Capillary bunkers last longer, average a 3-year payback, and provide better, more consistent player experiences, all with a 10-year performance guarantee. For more information, visit capillarybunkers.com.
Okay, we're back on the TurfNet Renovation Report, and my guest is Jeff Sexton. Jeff, let's tell me about this. This was your first renovation experience on growing in new greens?
Yeah, it was. I grew up with a father that was a 42-year golf course superintendent. He was kind of a project kind of guy. So he expanded a public course when I was a young kid from 9 holes to 18, and I was able to kind of tool around with him in that project. And I still kind of remember some of the practices, and that experience helped me build confidence in knowing that I can do one. But yes, overall, it's my first one that I've managed myself.
What was the course that he expanded?
He expanded Clearcrest Pines here in Evansville, a little public course that did well for many years and is no longer open after he retired, and they just decided to sell and move on.
Okay. Now, looking back on what you saw riding around with your dad, what are some of the things that you remembered or implemented while working on your project?
Well, it's like just simply, making sure that drain lines are installed properly in the bottom of the green cavities. Things really haven't changed a whole lot green construction wise. Pea gravel layer depths, making sure the sand layer is uniformly installed. Irrigation was done at his project, so it kind of opened my eyes as to how massive that part of the project is. But just things like that. I watched my dad, the organizational skills that he had, and ordering sod and working with contractors. And I just remember those days, like thinking as a young 17-year-old punk that, like, is my dad ever going to do anything around here? We're all laying sod and pulling rakes and doing the things we do. But now I know what dad was doing. It was a pretty stressful part of a massive renovation. So,
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. It turns out how smart your dad actually was, right?
yes, absolutely.
So, and tell me about this. Like you referenced that, you have seven greens at essentially 17 different heights, or 17 points along their growing timeline. How is that? How do you maintain in that situation greens that need different, inputs and different care all at the same time?
Well, the neat thing about it, I immediately, when I knew we were going to do this and the project got approved, I brought my mechanic in or my equipment manager, and I said, hey, this is what we're going to try to do. And really, it was more of him, like, helping me. So we knew we had the proper amount of greens mowers to grow in greens at different stages, but it was ultimately up to him to kind of keep me in line with heights of cut, maybe when the last time the green was mowed. I kept track of all the seeding dates on my phone just to kind of help me understand of when I want to start top dressing and do things like that. Chandler, the assistant, kind of took care of the fertility aspect of it. There were days I would just ask him, hey, when was the last time this green got fertilized? And he could tell me. But really the mechanic made it a huge difference with trying to keep up with 17 different things at once.
From the mechanics I know, I'm not sure that I'm guessing that he wasn't exactly happy about having to maintain mowers at that many different heights.
Yeah, it was difficult. And like any other project, people have to go through change and it's hard emotionally. But Jeff did a really nice job, really. I mean, he has his little tablet and he's still kind of keeping track. We're still trying to grow in a putting green, and our short game complex is getting very close to being the same as all the main 18. But he's still kind of keeping me in line. And right before I came in to talk to you, he whispered to me that my mower for the putting green had been ground and sharpened and ready to go. And so he's been real instrumental to this whole plan.
And on top of all of this, he's dinging up the mowers are getting dinged up, right? Because it's new grass and there's a lot of top dressing going on and all of that.
Yeah, he was just getting overwhelmed and hammered during the process. And he and I just, I just tried to help coach him, and he did a great job listening. And, if he was frustrated, he would come talk to me. But when he's trying to keep up with everything else, and then you bring in six walking greens mowers that just got annihilated, it doesn't really boast for a very good day,
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, you have to change. I mean, for his part, he goes from maintaining mowers on a golf course that's, the way it's been for years, and the usual wear and tear, to all of a sudden, this stuff's going on.
Yep, and these new grasses, you can just mow them so much closer, and the mowing equipment, the club just invested in a new fleet of Toro Flex walking mowers for the project, and we're excited to have those. And Jeff, the equipment manager, is taking his prism gauge out now and looking at mowing heights. He's like, holy cow, like, these things are short, And I told him we got a lot shorter to go. We're just going to wait until we get to cooler weather in the fall and let the greens age a little bit before we get too crazy. But we're having fun.
For where you grow grass, what's the most, the time period that's the most stressful on the turf? Because that's what you're going to be worried about with new greens, right?
Yeah, so May 1st to the end of September, we kind of call that the 100 days of hell here in Evansville or in the Midwest. It's just really, really difficult, and it's really just managing your moisture. The years like now that when it's dry and you can control what's going in and coming out, the years are the high temperatures don't bother us, but when you get rain event after rain event after rain event followed by heat, that's when guys start having a lot of problems in this part of the country.
Now, I know that, you know, we discussed this before, that you're in this heat wave going on right now, but from your standpoint, being sort of in a drought or droughtish period during a growing isn't the worst thing, is it?
No, but I mean, we're doing okay, but we're really having to work hard right now because we've got like 5 or 6 acres of grass that's only been on the ground like 5 or 6 weeks, and that sod is just, we give it so much water, it gets wet, too wet, and we try to back off, and then it wants to, you know, drought up a little bit. And so we're kind of fighting a fight right now that, yeah, I've learned through this process, no rain is good until things get tacked down to hold the ground in place. You don't want any kind of washing or moving. But everything's to the point now where me and my guys are ready for a couple of nice soaking rains.
What's your weather forecast look like?
Well, they keep telling me, like this last weekend, we had, you know, some folks around us that got hit with some awful hail and stuff, but that rain event just opened up and right around Evansville Country Club, so we missed that one, and we've got a chance, I think, this afternoon or tomorrow, but it's not super high. So we'll just let the pumps keep running and keep doing the best we can, I guess.
Yeah, I seems to be that I'm in Connecticut, and it seems to be the same way, is that these storms are coming through, and you know, one golf course is getting 2 inches of a rain event, and the other one 4 miles down the road is getting less than an eighth of an inch kind of thing.
Yep, that's exactly where we are.
What did you by the way, I meant to ask you, what did you put down for sod on the new fairways?
So we're a Meyer Zoysia golf course, and so we laid Meyer Zoysia, and that was another challenge. I wasn't scared because I knew Meyer was such a great grass, but we basically laid Zoysia grass from September all the way through into March and April. So we laid dormant Zoysia all winter long.
And this was just your crew, or was this also the construction company?
The construction company laid the sod.
And then once it starts to, like you said, then once it starts to green up, that's when you kind of need your rain and you haven't been getting that?
That's exactly right. We've just been pumping.
Right. Now, you're not doing city water? Are you doing city water, or do you have wells?
No, we've got a creek that in the springtime can be a real pain in our butts, but we're liking it this year because we pump out of the creek into the irrigation pond, and we just throw it back out on the golf course. So it's a pretty love-hate relationship with the Pigeon Creek.
No, which is the same as every superintendent who has a creek running through and near their golf course would tell you, right?
That's right.
And how has the membership reaction been to the new golf course?
Well, the membership is just static about what we did. They knew what we were going to do, but really didn't understand. It's really at the end of the day, it starts with the golf course architect, and the membership is so proud of what Bo has done to this place. I mean, it's basically they got a whole new golf course without renovating the whole darn thing, you know?
Right, right.
I mean, our driving range is getting ready to open tomorrow. Short game is getting ready to open tomorrow. Just more excitement there. But the membership is absolutely just loving the work that was done.
And that makes your job so much easier.
It does, absolutely. And they were, you know, I'll tell anybody or any superintendent trying to help a club sell a project, if your membership doesn't want to be inconvenienced, then you're never going to get a project approved. I mean, my membership was so good to us, never complained about when they were going to open. A lot of our members just joined other clubs around the area and kind of just disappeared for the 10 months that we were closed. And I've told them 100 times, I mean, it was just a blessing to have a membership that just never bothered the timeline whatsoever. They just trusted it.
That's fantastic. And that's not, as you know, that's not always the case.
No, it's not. It's hurry, hurry. When are we going to get it back? I can't believe we missed the deadline by 3 weeks or whatever. But, I mean, ultimately, it's an outdoor project, and timelines are, you know, they're hard to meet sometimes. And, I mean, we did pretty darn good in a 10-and-a-half-month stretch from start to finish.
Jeff, you have a really good Twitter account. And you see, you know, you really keep – you do a lot of updating on what's going on during this project. Was that – do you think that was part of the reason that membership understood?
Absolutely. And I also did emails a couple times a month, keeping them informed. But the Twitter account has been really, really good. It's kind of unique that, you know, I use Twitter as more of just a marketing tool for the club more than anything. There's so many people around town that don't belong here that know what we're doing. They might be contemplating a membership. I know a couple of years ago in my review that they told me that they did not want me to stop the Twitter account because we get new members from it. You know, people want to be involved with new. They want to be involved with action. They want to see where their dollars are going. And that's kind of what Twitter has done for Evansville Country Club.
And for those who want to follow you, I want to make sure this is right. It's ECC Super 77, right? ECC
yes, sir.
Super 77. Okay. Yes, no, sir. And I think that's, you know, it's smart to do it that way. People are following Twitter. Even people who are older who didn't grow up with the internet and social media, it's amazing that they've learned to follow along like that.
That's right. And my membership just really loves it. But it's kind of neat, too, to see people when you hear a guy that comes up to you that you don't even know. You know, it's a different side of a relationship, and it's kind of a weird part of it. But unfortunately, it's that era that we live in. But, you know, people know who you are, but they've never met you. And it opens up opportunities for relationships. Eventually, they'll come and see you, or, you know, you hear somebody that has joined the club because of the work that we've done, and they've learned it through outside social media. That's the stuff that's rewarding about all of it.
And it's I find it very interesting, like, you know, having the same experience where you're not sure if people are listening to you or following you or reading what you tweet or you post on Facebook, and suddenly you bump into somebody or somebody messages you and talks about, it's obvious that they've been following what you do. That's a really interesting dynamic of social media is to have somebody kind of come out of the woodwork and be like, I've been following you for a while and I like what you do.
That's right. Yep. It's been really good. You know, for me, I've got guys I haven't physically met, but I reach out to them through direct messaging because I see that they've done similar work and just asked about their experience. Or, you know, I was talking to Brian over in North Carolina about PGRs on Pure Distinction. And, you know, he was a huge help to me to help me understand what I could and couldn't do. And, you know, now I'm seeing the benefits of his experience. And, you know, it's just what's really cool about what we do, you know.
Yeah, I just think the fact that you could go on Twitter and find somebody who's growing or grew in with Pure Distinction and contact them you know, the amount of knowledge that you can find is amazing.
Yeah.
Just the way superintendents talk to each other about specific, very specific things, like you just said, PGR and Pure
yep.
Distinction. I mean, that's fascinating.
Yes, it is.
To me.
Yep.
And essentially, you're finding somebody who just not only knows about it, but is well versed in it. That's used it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
In the real world.
Yep. Absolutely.
Well, listen, I want to thank you for your time today. This has been very interesting, and I hope, you know, best of luck going forward. I hope you get the rain that you need, and, you know, I'll continue to follow you on Twitter.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you asking us to talk to you today, and, you know, my membership will be thrilled to know that their project got spoken about another time somewhere else, so it'll be fun. Yep.
That's great. You've been listening to the Renovation Report on TurfNet Radio. This concludes today's episode with my guest, Jeff Sexton, Certified Golf Course Superintendent at Evansville Country Club. Thanks, Jeff.